somewhere out there. Broadcast radio is lost in space. But we're down to earth. You're listening to Breakdown FM.
One all day play. One all day play.
Real music for real people.
Not to capitulate to terrorist demands, that no concessions policy remains in force. In spite of the wildly speculative and false stories about arms for hostages and alleged ransom payments, we did not, repeat, did not trade weapons or anything else for hostages.
The ballot of the bullet, some freedom or some bullshit. Will we ever do it bigger? Just keep settling for little shit. We brag on having bread, but none of us are bakers. We all talk having greens, but none of us on acres. If none of us on acres and none of us grow wheat, then who will feed our people when our people need to eat? So it seems our people starve from lack of understanding, cause all we seem to give them is some balling and some dancing. And some talking about our car and imaginary mansions. We should be indicted for bullshit we inciting. Children deaf and pretending it's exciting. We are advertisements for agony and pain. We exploit the youth, we tell them to join the gang. We tell them dope stories, introduce them to the gang. Just like Oliver North introduced us to cocaine in the 80s when them bricks came on military plane.
A few months ago I told the American people I did not trade arms for hostages. My heart and my best intentions still tell me that's true, but the facts and the evidence tell me it is not.
The end of the Reagan era, I'm like Lemma 12-er, old enough to understand that shit had changed forever. They declared a war on drugs, like a war on terror. But what it really did was let the police terrorize whoever. But mostly black boys, but they would call us niggas and lay us on our belly while they fingers on their triggers. They boots was on our head, they dogs was on our crotches. And they would beat us up if we had diamonds on our watches. And they would take our drugs and monies as they pick our pockets. I guess that's the privilege of policing for some profit. But thanks to Reaganomics, prison turned to profits. Cause free labor's the cornerstone of U.S. economics. Cause slavery was abolished unless you are in prison. You think I ambush it and then read the 13th Amendment. Involuntary servitude and slavery it prohibits. That's why they giving drug offenders time in double digits. Ronald Reagan was an actor, not at all a factor. Just an employee of the country's real masters. Just like the Bushes, Clinton and Obama. Just another talking head telling lies on teleprompters. If you don't believe the theory, then argue with this logic. Why did Reagan and Obama both go after Gaddafi? We invading sovereign soil, going after oil. Taking countries is a hobby, paid for by the oil lobby. Same as in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm a dinner jar, say they coming for Iran. They only love the rich and how they loathe the poor. If I say any more, they might be at my door. Who the fuck is that? Staring in my window, doing that surveillance on Mr. Michael Rinder. I'm dropping off the grid before they pump the lid. I leave you with four words, I'm glad Reagan dead.
Pull no punches. If you're just tuning in, man, we had to start off this show righteously with the song Reagan. That ain't even the full song. You know, when you go to the end, you start spelling it out. Ronald, Wilson, Reagan. It sounds real ominous, you know, like you had a point to prove that you took an American icon that people have been trying to recreate his image and make them forget about stuff, and you just came and threw a knockout blow, man. Do you feel bad about it, or you even said you're glad Reagan's dead?
Yeah, Yeah.
I think that most of the people who represent my community feel like that. So I think I speak for a larger group of people.
I hear that, man. Mm-hmm. Killer Mike in the building. The name of the song is Rap Music, or the album is Rap Music.
Yep.
And you have an acronym for that. What is it? What is it?
Rebellious African People's Music.
You took hip hop back to where it needs to be.
I think I took it forward to where it needs to go.
Okay, I like that. You took it forward to where, you know, why did you feel it's so important to make statements when it's so much easier in many ways people feel maybe even profitable to do a dance song, to keep it safe, do product placement in your songs?
You can dance to JoJo's Chillin'. I make records you can, you know, I make life records. You can have a whole life experience listening to rap music. You know, you go strip club with your wife, like I rap about in the third verse of Southern Fried, and kick it, and you know. But I think that it's important for me to make statements, because statements need to be said. Like, you know, as a young black male in this country, when I say young black male, man, I don't even mean 16, 17, 18. I mean like young men in their late 20s, 30s, early 40s. Like, you have a group of men that for their whole life have never had a voice, and never had an organization to give them a voice, never had a national agenda spoken for on their behalf, have continued to be double unemployment rate, you know, and just, you know, nobody's since probably 1992, like their advocates were rappers prior to that, and after that, just rappers stopped rapping as much. Now, you've had notables like The Coop, you had Dead Prez, you know, you had some amazing artists that in the South, David Banner, you know, me, Kay Reno. You've had
Kay Reno, big shout out to him.
Exactly. You've had all these, you know, you've had rappers doing it, but it hasn't been a part of the culture like it was prior to like 1992, 93, so.
Do you think that was deliberate, or what happened? What do you think changed?
Money. Money and the same thing that happened in politics with the availability of lobbyist money, political agenda start, you know, bending to the will of corporations and companies. And the same thing has happened when artists have an opportunity to get a sack full of money or an account full of money to represent corporations, then you start, you know, you start to quiet some of what you just naturally would do as an artist.
You know?
Now, there's a such thing. I'm talking about artists. Some people just entertainers. You can put a song in their mouth and teach them an 8-step and they can dance and they can be court jesters or fools, but that's not, I'm an artist. You know, an artist is what Basquiat was. An artist is what Warhol was. An artist is Henry Oso Watana. You know, that's Melvin Van Peebles. You know what I mean? That's an artist. And that's what I try to do. And as an artist, you're supposed to provoke.
Right. And be a reflection, would you say?
I think so.
You've been doing that. You know, one of the, you've been around for a minute. Atlanta, you've been doing it for a minute. But I think what really caught people's attention in a big way was when you and Ice Cube did that song, The Pressure.
Yeah.
And it was the video to it, because like you said, we hadn't seen Malcolm X in rap video since 92.
Yeah.
We hadn't seen that sort of militancy that was uncompromised coming in a rap song that had the whole package. That was right there front and center, like you went from 50 Cent to whoever, and there was Killer Mike's song right there. And it, you know, it made me realize how much you know, we were missing. And I thought, man, that when you did that, there would be more folks that would have gravitated in that direction, because it caught a lot of attention, but it just seemed like a lot of folks held back, and there was so much things going on at that time and afterwards that I was really surprised. I mean, Katrina, all sorts of things, and people just disappeared.
Yeah, I mean, I think people, this is my job to say it, to keep saying it. So I said it in Pressure, and, you know, people thought it was entertainment, and the condition stayed the same. Then I said it again in Burn after the untimely demise of Oscar Grant, you know, at the hands of a BART officer.
And people in Oakland appreciate the fact that you came out here and put Grant's people in
the family. And definitely, and forever send my love and support to them. And people seem to get it, this base seemed to get it more. You know, people start saying, okay, this is for real. He isn't just, because, you know, I know a lot of rappers only do these kind of songs just because it's the hot topic. And I understand the audience had got jaded, but, you know, all my records are going to have a reflection of this, and rap music is probably the most social. So when I came with Reagan, I just felt like it was a cap on all those, because you know, I think that a lot of times the things that I will choose to talk about, and not even solely talk about, I think it's things that we talk about in the barbershops as black men.
Right.
You know, that it's things that we talk about amongst ourselves at the water cooler. So I just want to be a part of the conversation over the airway.
You know, I'm going to stay on Reagan for a minute because I think it's critically important. There was the documentary that came out called Planet Rock, Hip Hop and the Crack Generation, that VH1 did.
Yeah,
and I thought it was well done. And what stood out and should be a reminder was just how pervasive and how destructive crack cocaine was. And what has happened over the past 15, 20 years, there's been a makeover of Ronald Reagan. We don't associate him with crack, even though back in the days, Melly Mel and them were talking about it. Yeah. Gil Scott-Heron and them were talking about it. And many of us who are old enough, you know, remember the Iran-Contra scandal. So the point that I'm getting at is that there have been these forces that have remade the image of Reagan. Now they want to name not just airports, but schools. And they want to have his picture in the books. And they're using culture as a way to promote him. I mean, even here in California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, an actor himself, you know, went and signed Ronald Reagan Day right here in the Bay, in California. You know, said we got to, let's honor him in the middle of Black History Month. So
the man that wanted to do away with the Panthers.
That's right. Yeah. Do away with the Panthers and then introduce crack. We just had Freeway Ricky in here.
Yeah.
You know,
Shouts out to Rick.
The Freeway Ricky Ross, the real one.
Yeah, I already know, that's why I said South Central.
He sat right in your seat and talked about, you know, that insidious cocaine connection that existed with the Reagan administration and the hood. But what was so refreshing about your song, with all that money that they put behind remaking his image, you came along and in about 16, 20 bars, took that down, gave its context, and made us refocus.
Yeah, and not even for, like, you know, I don't throw cheap shots. You know, I don't do that like I know a lot of people do. And then when I say that, I mean beyond rap. Like, Fox News caught wind of on the 5, and some idiot white guy just made a cheap shot about me being black, me being fat. Meanwhile, he was white, he was fat, and he was very poorly dressed. But I just said that how redundant and how much of an ignoramus do you have to be to have achieved whatever you achieved to be on a prestigious network like Fox, arguably prestigious, and the best you can come up with against such a logical and eloquently spoken song is, you know, I don't like fat black guys, and this is why. And it just really showed me the just the minuscule minds that I'm dealing with, you know, in terms of trying to uphold Reagan. Like, he was a pitch man when he was alive. He sold cigarettes and he sold political agendas. And now that he's dead, you're continuing to lionize a pitch man. And I'm just saying, don't be a fool. We have other presidents to lionize. We have our founding fathers who we can lionize. You have the presidents who brought you out of the Great Depression to lionize. You have presidents who died in Dallas in cars in their wife's arms to lionize, who died on the behalf of keeping your true liberties alive. You have a president who's alive now in Jimmy Carter, who has lived to regret some of his decisions, is now trying to make up for them to lionize. And you'd rather keep lionizing a liar. I just say it makes you a fool. And right. I don't have much respect for fools, so I'm going to keep doing this.
As John Henry Clark, the great scholar, once said, I don't debate anybody but my equals.
Talk to me.
So if he's an ignoramus, then you know what? We don't even need to talk about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Them people can't.
One of the things that's interesting, I want to go back a little bit, okay?
Because
you said some lines in that song.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to 2008. We were at the in Houston.
Yeah.
At the Ozone Awards, and you spoke, man, eloquently, man. I put it in a commercial, and we was running it in 08 during the election of Barack Obama. And see if we might be able to cue that up over there. It's Killer Mike speaks about politics, see if we can get that, because I think what you said was just incredible, and you set a tone. Because if you remember, there were about 10,000 people there. Everybody was there at that summit. It was you, Rick Ross, Bun B. Everybody was sitting
there. Was Boosie up there? I think Boosie was on one panel I did that weekend.
Yeah, there was a lot of folks sitting there. Chameleon Air, and you talked about the importance of the rap community sticking together and not letting Obama election get undone by some rap BS.
Yeah.
But in your song, you know, you took him to task.
Exactly.
Yeah, you took him to task. And so I was, you know, I wanted to get your take on that.
If I don't love you, I gotta love you to do that.
Right.
Yeah, I got to love you, man. I got to love you with all I got to correct you. You know, I don't care to correct Ronald Reagan. I'm glad he did.
Right.
I meant that I said it. I'll die knowing it. You will die knowing I meant it. But with my brother, I'd be a fool not to call you on it. That's all.
Well, this came out of love too. Very powerful speech. Let's listen to a little bit of this with Killer Mike.
Hey, what's up? It's the leader of the grind. Grind Time Rap Gang, bang, bang, bang. I am Killer Mike, man. What's happening?
For the last 40 years, we have heard, and especially amongst African Americans, that we shall overcome. We shall overcome. We never quite knew what overcoming was. We never knew what overcoming was going to look like. No one set a date for overcoming. No one had itinerary for the overcoming of. But I was encouraged to see in Barack Obama a synergy happen amongst people across the lines, a certain energy that happened amongst Black, White, and Latinos. People finally decided they overcame. And I believe in the African American community especially, it was important for us to get to the point where we decided to overcome. I think that what's happening now in politics parallels hip hop, because you know the backstories of hip hop. You don't have to wait for a story to tell you who Charlie Lowe was before, because he tells you, this is who I was, I reformed myself, and I decided to make a change. I decided to do these things. Barack Obama was honest from the start. From the start, Barack said, this is who I am, these are the mistakes I made, this is me pure and impure, and I'm asking you to decide to vote for me. I think that hip-hop spoke, because over the last 40 years, hip-hop has been this thing that was born. It was born out of Black nationalism. It was born out of poverty. It was born into an economic resource that became an alternative to crack. And I think the pinnacle of this is, we finally have a candidate that's willing to say, I'm for men taking care of their family. Because contrary to popular belief, rappers are men who take care of their family. More, I sit on panels time and time again, the only people in the wedding rings on are rappers. I go to communities and barbershops. The only people who had the courage to support Obama before any of our Black politicians were rappers. The only people who had the courage. Now, with that comes a certain responsibility. And our responsibility as rappers is to get off the boo-boo. If I can quote that from the great Pimp C, we cannot and we must not endanger this man or become an Achilles heel to him by bringing our rap boo-boo to politics. In other words, nigga, put your suit on if you're going to church. If we're going to be in support of Barack Obama, we have to clean up certain things.
You got a standing ovation after you did that.
Yeah.
And let me give people the context, you know, and I didn't talk to you about this, but I'm gonna make a guess. This is about the time that Ludacris had called Hillary Clinton a B. You remember that? And so that was bringing a whole lot of attention.
Yeah.
Everybody was going through the lyrics and they were starting to be, who's he hanging with? And it seemed like you was giving that across the board warning, you know, don't become the Achilles heel.
Yeah.
With that being said, the criticism with our president is that he hasn't come in a way that many people expected or wanted him or needed him to address our agenda, you know, Black men and maybe even young people themselves. You know, we see that playing itself out when I go to these campuses and other places. But your thoughts on this, because you did criticize him pretty harshly in that Reagan song as well, as you said.
Yeah.
And it seemed to be an evolution on your part from when you gave that speech, which
not an evolution of, just the day after. Like the day after I vote for you, is the day your work begins. And then I got to judge you on the content of your character on the basis of your work.
Right.
See, I got to get you in office to critique you. I've already decided myself you're the best one to be critiqued.
Okay.
So once I have you in the place of critiquing, you know, my grandmother was hard on me. She was hard on me. But she was hard on me because she saw me as the best of. She saw me that I had to be equal or better to those on the highest par. And I had to understand it after so long that the reason I thought she hated me for a number of years is because she saw something in me that I hadn't acknowledged in myself, and I had allowed others around me to limit me. And that's what I'm saying. We have allowed Nancy Pelosi. We've allowed Harry Reid. We've allowed a Congress and a Senate. We have allowed angry politicians from the other side to limit him. And, you know, one or two things has to happen. First of all, we have to settle. We've never stated our agenda. And if, as a black people, we've never stated our agenda, and we've never, as black men, certainly haven't stated our agenda. As black men, we've never said we are a voting bloc. For the second time, we're going to come out and vote for someone. But if you don't do a jobs program in Detroit, Oakland, Watts, Compton, Southeast Atlanta, if you don't do a jobs program in East New York, we are going to vote for Ron Paul.
Okay. So that's how you do it.
That's how you do it, because that's how you win elections. You win elections by show up, organizing force and getting votes, or by paying and becoming parts of super PACs and lobbying groups.
What do you say to those people that would be like, Mike, you don't want to let Mitt Romney get into office because he's going to make the whole thing just go to hell?
Those are the same people that are celebrating Obamacare, which is the same thing as Romney Care. Your two guys aren't that different. I don't care who's in office. I voted for him because I felt like he was the best person to be sensitive to the needs of my community and to push an agenda forward if we present one. And I think the first thing on our agenda in the black community should be black male job programs. It should be black male jobs programs, because if you stabilize a young black male, if you stabilize black men with employment, you stabilize the community. Because now you don't have men outside the community going into prison, but you have men in the community, and you have more men at home. A lot of men are just outside their homes because they can't afford.
Right.
They can't afford to feel like men by taking care of their portion of it, which brings economic strife between a man and a woman, which separates most young couples, most poor young couples. We could have stabilized families with better jobs, with trades, you know. So my thing is, if we're not rallying and pushing for that, then we ain't on the right agenda anyway. And I can't debate that with you. I can't debate with you what I know works.
Right,
you know,
right.
I saw what ended gang violence in Atlanta 20 years ago. It was the introduction of summer jobs. You know, when Crips and Gangsta Disciples could get jobs in Atlanta, there wasn't no use to have gang means no more. It was money to be made.
Right.
You know, so my thing is, if you're not really serious about educating and employing and empowering the African-American male, you know, in the community, you're a fool. And that ain't saying, sisters, I'm not thinking about y'all, and I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying you have a group of men, you're not only your potential mates or the ones you don't care nothing about, but your sons and your nephews and your godsons who have the ability to work as hard as anyone else, yet their unemployment at double the national rate. And that's just a shame.
Do you think he's going to listen?
No, because we aren't yelling. People only listen when you yell. When you go in the club and you buy bottles with a credit card, nobody knows.
But you said, and I think accurately so, this large body of people, we'll just call it hip-hop.
Yeah.
Put him into office. You were one of the first to be out in front.
Uh-huh.
People did songs, parties. I mean, we can go from the Roots to Young Jeezy to Jay-Z. I mean, picking artists, you all use your power.
Yeah.
And that day, you know, I think a lot of people don't really understand the significance that you had. I mean, everybody who is anybody was sitting on that table with you.
Yeah.
Everybody heard that message that was in the audience, and I swear to God, you know, people talked about it. They did take your words, you know, put on a Sunday best, and everybody was moving in that direction, but definitely went the extra yard to be like, we're going to fall back and make sure.
Yeah, nobody did anything dumb after that.
Right, right. And you would think that would be like, you know, let me give you a wink and a nod and let me do what you need to do.
Yeah.
But you didn't see that.
Yeah, we didn't act. I did. I always ask for something.
Right.
But the guys on the top don't know no better. You know, they just doing what the will of the people. You know, the people say we like them, we want them. And they just being represented speaking for the people. But essentially, that just makes them a senator or a congressman. They don't understand the crux of the problem. The crux of the problem is, you know, you can't represent a community of young men that don't have the ability to take care of their basic needs and the children they father and the women they're with.
And
if you fix that, your community starts to heal. And if you don't demand that from the president you supporting, you're a fool.
Right. Well, as you said in the beginning, that's for any politician.
Yeah.
Mayor, you know, police Anybody. Chief, the whole nine.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, we got Killer Mike in the building. You got your DJ here, man. What's your name, brother?
Yeah, Trackstar.
I'm Trackstar, the DJ.
Trackstar. Where you out of?
I'm living in Atlanta now. Represent St. Louis.
Okay, so yep. St. Louis, man.
Yep.
We haven't had people come out of there. Nelly, the Lunatics.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to remember. There were some groups before that, way before. I'm going to remember. Early D. That's what I'm thinking.
There was Silk Smooth.
Silk Smooth.
Silk Smooth.
Yeah.
At a Trick with a Good Rap with King Odie.
Okay.
He's a big homie.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been a lot.
But now you're on the map there.
I'm, you know, trying.
You know, let me talk a little bit about music for a minute, okay?
Yo.
Your album has been getting rave reviews.
And
it's not just because you have nice lyrics that we can get to. You know what I mean? That's good. But you came with, I mean, it's like, you know, here we call it the Thizz face. Once upon a time,
yeah.
It was called the Gas face. Before that, it was the Funk face. I mean, you listen to a cut and you go, ooh.
Oh,
let me rewind that.
Oh,
and you know, LP produced a lot of this.
What he produced the entire album.
So first of all, LP from Company Flow.
Yep.
His sound, his style seems in a whole nother world than Killer Mike.
Yeah.
You know, and even when you listen to LP's album, it ain't what's on your thing.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
So how did you and LP hook up, and then what was the whole concept? Because many people are giving rap music a 4 and 5 star and
I think
album
it was a classic.
Of the year, the
well,
whole thing.
Source isn't because they just are relentless about just getting it wrong with me. So,
well, they don't count. They don't count to us.
Yeah, even my good friends at the XXL, I told them I want my other X.
Right.
Well, this is my classic, but I, you know, I'm trying to make my music to the best. After I left the commercials. The commercial side, I just wanted to always keep the same level of quality. So I've always tried to make dope music, and I appreciate y'all supporting the Pledge series and now rap music. But Jason DeMarco, who's he works with Adult Swim, is a friend of mine at L. He had used me for voiceover work, used L for production work. I had did a singles with him with Flying Lotus last year, and he asked if I'd be interested in possibly doing an album. I'm like, yeah, you know, of course I would, because over here I get to do, I'd have the freedom to do a record that I couldn't do even going to, you know, my independent distributor. They
right.
wouldn't really know what to do with it. So so L and I got in for a week in Atlanta, built up a few, liked it. I started calling L like, you got to do the whole record.
Now, did you know about LP, Def Jux and all
yeah.
that?
Yeah, we both knew about each other in the peripheral. He knew my singles, I knew his singles and his movement. You
okay.
know what I mean? And but I don't think that we had thought that our sounds would mesh like that. Like, I don't think Cube thought he and the Bomb Squad sound would mesh like that before he got off that plane
right.
and stepped in that room with Chuck and Hank Shock Lee. You know, I just knew I'm willing to push myself, and I always had wanted a one producer, one rapper record, and we figured it out. Like,
So what was it like in the studio?
I mean, a lot of marijuana, a lot of talking BS to each other, and every time the beat moved me, I just got up and rapped. It just came out.
So who led? Was it him who led, or did you lead? When it came to doing these things, how did it, I mean?
It's just like 2 16-year-old kids, like they're just throwing back and forth with ideas. Not really a lead. The beats lead. The beats always tell you what to do, but the beats will tell you what to do. Then you'll throw down a lyric. Then he'll say, "Well, that doesn't need to be in the beat. This needs to be in the beat." So the vibe is what led, and a lot of Sour Diesel.
Man, so you came with it, you know, you and LP, and it really brought a lot out. Did you have to really spend a lot of time writing, going back, redoing?
I didn't write on this album. This album's not written.
It isn't?
This so album's just like stream of consciousness. He put the beats in. And I don't do the whole, yo, I don't write either. I don't do that. I love writing. I think writing is very, very valuable. But over the years, I've just developed a technique where I can just go in and start just getting it out. But in this one, it didn't even feel like that. It was just like a stream of consciousness. The beat would play. A concept would be thought about or talked about back and forth. I'd say I have something, I get up, you come out, stop.
One take on each song?
No, not necessarily like one take on each song, but some songs it all come out, then I go back and figure it out and fix it, but it just poured out.
Well, you know, we talked about, you know, me and you, I called you, you know, not too long after I got the album. I was like, man, I have to give you a call on this. But one of the things that stood out, we talked about it, man, you let a certain type of vulnerability come out. And, you know, in a good way. I mean, it's like you went beyond the surface, and I really was feeling like you put personal feelings in there that went beyond just angry or, you know, the posturing that we can do as men and black men in particular.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, because you seem to open up a lot.
Willie Burke Sherwood was going to be another record, and L said, nah, man, you should, you know, really go deep on this. You should talk about something. And I just thought about, it was one of the latter songs we were doing on the record, and I just thought about my grandfather, you know, and then just what he meant to me. And just as a man, like, you're only used to showing certain emotions. You know, as a man, you have to stay very guarded. Like, think about it, man. If you're walking around, you can't afford a job. I mean, a job said they can't afford you. You ain't got much but the clean clothes on your back. You know what I mean? Doing the best. Sometimes you ain't got nothing but pride and ego. You know, so, and we stay in that mold a lot. But I just, with this record, I just thought about my grandfather not having a father and having to be mentored by an uncle and what it took for him to become a man and help make me a man, like to show me how to tie a tie, to really, you know, advise me on how to move. It was just like, it was overwhelmingly beautiful, and it made me, you know, and I start the record in Untitled talking about my fears, my thoughts of, you know, dying or being murdered, my woman possibly moving on, you know, just I talk about all my fears and give you my humanity in that. And then toward the end, I just really wanted people to see my evolution from a child, from literally jumping off my grandma's lap into the streets, getting captivated by the streets and realizing this is not for me. Not that I can't hang. I survived. I did very well in the streets. But I never desensitized to the violence. I never desensitized to the tragedy I was seeing. And because I was addicted to reading, like, I could see Shakespeare right before me. I believe that's why people are so intrigued by rap. They're watching a tragedy over and over again. You know what I mean? So, you know, your Macbeth, your Hamlets become Biggie and Tupac, because their life is filled with tumultuous drama, love, lust, evil, good, pulling at them, you know. So I started to see that in real life, and that was an insecurity, you know.
Well, I'm going to play a song, because you talked about this description, and it's Any Place But Here. Yeah. Many people, including myself, say it's probably one of their favorite songs off there, and you literally are taken in, and, you know, and you walk on this journey, you know, with you. And, you know, there's a lot of questions I have about it, but let's give people just a taste of what you did with this song, Anywhere But Here. Yes, Any Place But Here, right?
There's me featuring Emily Panic.
Who's Emily Panic?
She's a amazing bass guitarist and vocalist who travels the world with bands, making them look doper. And hopefully she'll get to work on her solo project soon.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to this.
All right.
Thank you. I maneuver through the ATL in a black SL with the guidance of a black female. This is black male heaven, what the bottles are professing, but to me, home feels like hell. Even though it's black top, from the mayors to the cops, black blood still gets spilled. They raided a house no drugs were ever found, but a black grandmother lay killed. Like the dream of the king when the sniper took his life on the balcony of Lorraine's motel. From now forth war, these young black boys seem to self-sabotage they selves. Or maybe they just smart and they choose to go hard, cause they know the good guy will fail. So you ask what happens to a dream deferred Langston? Well, it kills itself.